Let's take our Bibles this morning to two places, John chapter 14 and Ephesians chapter 2. John 14 and Ephesians 2. It's a privilege to be with you this morning, and we know that there are many challenges, difficulties that various ones of us are going through, but I believe that God is going to use this journey to be a blessing in your life. Now, for some, the pandemic from the virus pandemic that we're going through is the major concern. For others, that's never been a concern. There are other things that are pressing on your heart. Now, either way, it is true that every believer will be tested by God. And so because of that, we can rejoice. Why? If God trusts you enough with the testing, that must mean he wants to help you grow and be more like him. Praise his name through the problems, not after the problems. Praise his name right now. What a great God we serve. Praise you. Thank you, God, for being good. 14:27 is where we are in John. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Mankind has been looking for peace ever since the first blow was struck. Ever since the first drop of blood was shed, man is looking for peace. They're actively looking for it today. And the world offers peace in many areas, lots of opportunities. You can take whichever one you choose. Government is one area that the world offers for peace. Peace through legislation. It's interesting that someone said you cannot legislate morality, and then they spend all their time trying to legislate morality. Why? What's legislation? It's simply a declaration of what is right or wrong. And we find men and women actively pursuing peace through legislation. What I find is amazing. We have people rioting, protesting, demanding that government and civil authority be overthrown, all funded by the government. Amen? They're able to get off work that day because they're off work every day. Amen? And in many cases, it's amazing to see how the inconsistencies are there. People who hate rich people, and so they play the lottery hoping to become one. A lot of hypocrisy in the human heart. I read a quote, "We hear the world's governments talking about peace, but we know each government is busy secretly making weapons capable of destroying the entire planet." That's the truth. Someone said that God took 6 years to create the earth, and we are almost to an equality with God in that we can destroy the earth in half of a day. We're getting to that point of unity, a solidarity of power. The Antichrist, by the way, will be very, very good at bringing peace through government. He will bring men to the table that they've been trying to shove together at Camp David for years. And he will actually pull it off. He will have the ability to bring peace. In fact, that's part of his watchword. That's his motto, peace and safety. That's why I'm suspicious of all of the things that people are doing to keep me safe in this world. I'm cautious of that because that rings a little bit like the Antichrist, who promises to completely eradicate the curse of sin on the earth. I don't know about you. I love air conditioning. Thankful for it. But air conditioning is, in a way, an attempt to remove the curse of the sweat of our face. I'm thankful for all of the modern conveniences we have. I'm thankful for Cyrus McCormick, that great man who came up with the mechanical reaper. What was he doing? He was fighting against the curse. And it has continued. Modern agriculture is nothing like what it was in the days of Cain and Abel. Why? Mankind is determined to to overthrow the curse of sin on the earth. The government offers it through legislation. Environmentalism offers peace through stewardship of the earth. They say things such as, we are all children of the earth. We need to take care of our mother. Our mother is in desperate need of care. And I believe that we ought to be good stewards of the earth. But I can tell you this, it doesn't matter what you do, the earth is bigger than you. And it is going to continue as long as God wants it to continue. Earth, the Bible says, will continue. Summer and winter, seed time and harvest will continue as long as the earth endures. And so stewardship of the earth is difficult because it's, as the man said, humans dream of making Mars more like Earth while we continue to make Earth more like Mars. Constantly destroying this planet in hopes of getting to another planet. Mankind seeks peace through science. Peace through knowledge, as it were. If we can just learn enough, but then we end up with Google, who knows everything about everybody. And they start doing some bad stuff. Man seeks peace through religion. But as Pastor Dave said this morning, religion devolves into nothing more than duty and discipline. Every church has it. Every believer has the capability of functioning with nothing more than religion. Remember, God saves us in spite of ourselves, not because of ourselves. Christian, you are no better today in the flesh than you were the day before you got saved. And if you're not careful, you will listen to the lie of the devil that says, I'm getting better, I'm getting better, and I'm getting better. And let me remind you that that's no different than the lost Roman Catholic on the front pew doing penance. I'm getting better, I'm getting better. I'm making it, I'm getting there. Religion does not offer peace, not lasting peace. It offers a temporary band-aid to help you forget the fact that you don't have peace. It's no different than a kid that's screaming and crying because they have a cut on their knee and you say, would you like a lollipop? And the kid stops screaming because suddenly they no longer have any skin on their, any tear on their knee. No, they still have the problem with their knee, but they've been distracted. Religion does that to us. You know you have a problem in your soul, so you go to church and you leave feeling better. You've done nothing more than apply a placebo. A pill that is just sugar. It makes you feel that something's being done and nothing's being done. It reminds me of when I was growing up, we recorded some albums as a family. And with all the kids that we had, engineers had to tiptoe through the tulips. Who was louder? Who was softer? Whose instrument should be emphasized during this part? The sound engineer is sitting there, and he knows that there's no way he can keep up with everyone's preferences and indications. So you might say to him, can you turn up this? And he would put his hand over a knob and pretend to turn a knob. Is that better? Oh, yes, that's better. Very good. He would literally take some patch cords, and he would dangle them, just kind of, does that sound better? Yes, very. Thank you very much. That was good. A lot of people go to church and they hear something random about some being somewhere, and they think, They go away, damned to hell. Because the problem has not been fixed. Religion hurts more than it helps. Some look for peace in philosophy. Peace through enlightenment. Knowing more about why we are here. And maybe we need to understand more about why we ask why. And then why do I even want to ask why about why we're here? That's a very interesting thought. They spend their time in hearing or telling some new thing. They spend their time gazing at their navel doing nothing. But somehow they feel that they're smarter than everyone else. I'm sensing in you a little bit of blah, 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 blah. Some seek peace through psychology. That is, understanding men and their minds. knowing what are the purposes that contribute to the way that you act. Was it your dog? When your dog died, how did you feel? How did that make you feel? How do you think it made the person who ran over your dog feel? Don't you realize that they're a victim as well? Psychology seeks to help people find peace in man, within themselves. Could it be that your parents were so overbearing that that explains why you're a loser? It may explain some of it, but don't forget, you're here and you made choices as well. You've got to factor yourself and your own will into this thing. You see, the psychology field is nothing more than an attempt to be God, to map it all out as the serial killer does with the red yarn and put it all together and make big marks with Sharpies on the wall. Here's my problem. This is why I am so messed up. And notebooks fill with all the notes about how messed up we are. And when we get done, we're still messed up. Oh, we have a whole list of people to blame. We've got a whole two-hour session where we yelled and screamed at the world because of our lost childhood. And we somehow feel better. We don't feel any better. We just recognize more clearly now, we see much more clearly how messed up we are. And how messed up our parents were, and their parents, and the neighbors that live next door, and our third grade teacher was also whacked. And now we understand a lot more about how the world is messed up. How does that help you? It doesn't. It's temporary peace. Some seek peace through distraction called pleasure. The pleasures of the flesh. Alcohol, drugs, entertainment. That which entices and excites the flesh. That which the flesh is drawn to. How many stupid things have people done because they were drunk? I've said this before. It may bear repeating here. I will believe the outrage against smoking when there is an equal outrage against drinking. The problem that people have is not that these things don't temporarily distract. They do. Why do people get drunk all the time? Because it works temporarily. That's why. Why do people love to gorge themselves on any particular vice, whether that be food or whether that be drugs or cigarettes or you name it, all of the things? Why? Because it temporarily works. People are not stupid. They don't do that because it doesn't work. They do it because it temporarily works. And all they do is settle for punting in their life. Well, we didn't get it this round. Next set of downs, we're gonna try again. We'll just punt. Why? It's better than giving them too much yardage the other direction. Let's push them back that way. I can't fix my problem, but I can pretend for a little while that I don't have a problem. I'll take the drugs because it helps me forget how bad it really is. I'm going to go on a trip. We're going to girls' night out. Why? So we can just go and have fun and we can have guys' weekend trip because we can just go and pretend like our marriage is not a shambles. Just for a couple days. We can pretend like we're really happy. And we can post all the pictures on social media so that everybody back home knows we're really living right now. And what everybody knows is that it's temporary. The reason why you have to constantly say you're having so much fun is because you're not having fun. Inside, you don't have peace. Amazingly enough, our culture, our government, and the governments of the world are actually seeking peace through space exploration. Peace from outside our planet. Mankind is actively looking for peace in space. Wernher von Braun said this. He was the inventor of the rocket. He said, it, the rocket, will free men from his remaining chains, the chains of gravity which still tie him to this planet. It will open to him the gates of heaven. Remind me of the Tower of Babel. I read an article on NASA.gov in 2014. Matt Mountain, the director and Webb telescope scientist of the Space Telescope Institute in Baltimore, said this. What we didn't know 5 years ago, this was written in 2014, what we didn't know 5 years ago is that perhaps 10 to 20% of stars around us have Earth-sized planets in the habitable zone. It's within our grasp to pull off a discovery that will change the world forever. It is going to take a continuing partnership between NASA, science, technology, the U.S., and international space endeavors, as exemplified by the James Webb Space Telescope, to build the next bridge to humanity's future. This is not the Jetsons, folks. This is reality. In the article, they say the ability to detect alien life may still be years or more away, but the quest is underway. Mountain said this, just imagine the moment when we find potential signatures of life. Imagine the moment when the world wakes up and the human race realizes that its long loneliness in time and space may be over. The possibility we're no longer alone in the universe. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. In both cases, spiritual beings took on some type of human form and came down and lived among men. Very interesting when you think about that. I have no doubt that one of these days there's going to be an alien that shows up and presents himself as the answer to all of mankind's woes. Very interesting. Very interesting. You say, that's crazy. Well, when the U.S. Navy is releasing videos of UFOs saying that they are UFOs, not that they're aliens, but that they're UFOs, that makes me stop and think. Maybe the devil's not hiding in the shadows as much as he used to. But the fact of the matter is, they're not too far off. Because true peace must come from another world. It's extraterrestrial peace. Jesus said in verse 27, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. There's a difference between the peace that Christ gives and the peace that the world gives. Why? Jesus Christ is not of this world. This world is under the curse of sin. Tahereh Mafi wrote a book called Unravel Me. And in that, it's written, this planet is a broken bone that didn't set right. 100 pieces of crystal glued together. We've been shattered and reconstructed, told to make an effort every single day to pretend we still function the way we're supposed to, but it's a lie. It's all a lie. Man, that's the truth. It's a lie. This world is messed up, it's broken, it's fractured, and we pretend on a daily basis that it's not. When you live in the flesh, you are pretending that everything's okay, and it's not okay. If we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. What is peace? Jesus said he would give it to you. Do you have it? He said he left it here for you. I leave you with this, he said. Do you have it? The idea that nobody has it is akin to saying to Jesus Christ, you lied. There is no peace. There is no peace. And some of you would say there is some types of peace, but this particular area shows us how much more we have to go till we get peace, whether that be in the sociological area, or in the scientific endeavor. Or maybe it would be in relationships. We have so far to go until we get to peace. Jesus said, I gave you peace. I left it for you. I gave it to you as a present. What is peace? The dictionary says peace is a state of quiet or tranquility. It is a freedom from war with a foreign nation. It's public quiet. What is peace? Do you have peace? Ephesians chapter 2. Why is it that mankind is looking for peace anyhow? Because everybody knows if they tell the truth, there is no peace on the earth. The United Nations vaunts itself as bringing peace. They shall turn their swords into plowshares. Their building says, drawing directly from Scripture, but completely ignoring the Prince of Peace himself. You can't have peace without Jesus. You can have a building full of people from all over the world, but that doesn't bring peace. There's only one man that brings peace. That's Jesus Christ. No smart leader can bring peace. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Here is the reason why there is no peace. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Notice verse 1, trespasses and sins bring death. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There's something going on in the air. Can you sense it? Can you sense it? What is it? It's the prince of the power of the air. The opposite of Christ's peace. It's a false peace. Peace and safety, the Antichrist says. Can you see that? Can you feel it in the air? We'll all be so much safer when we do A and B and C and D and E and F. And what's happening? There's no peace inside. There is a fake peace, a knockoff peace. It's shallow. It's cheap. It's disposable. It's dollar store. You know it's not going to last. But it says peace right on the package. That's the peace of the prince of the power of the air. What is he doing? It says the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. That's the problem. That is the problem. There's no peace because of disobedience. Why is God upset? Why is mankind at a place of enmity between himself and God? Why are we fighting with God? Because of rebellion. Because God said, don't, and we said, we're gonna. That's why. Why is there no peace in our culture today? You say, well, it's not sinful. It's scientific. It's a virus. May I rewind the tape back to the curse in Genesis chapter 3. The reason why there are viruses, the reason why there is sickness and death is because of disobedience. It's because of sin. I'm not saying whoever contracts the virus is a greater sinner. I'm not saying in that sense that it is sin itself. It is the result, the byproduct of sin. When you got divorced, your kids were not to blame, but they certainly have been affected by it. They have had to live with that. You took drugs when you were young, and now you are incapable of functioning the way you would like to. You're impacting other people. One man's decision impacted all of us. It says that it is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's the devil's fault. But notice the children of disobedience. And what did that look like? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That is the thrust of disobedience. It's not because we hate God. It's because we want to do what we want to do. You don't sin because you know it will hurt God. You sin because you know it will make you feel good, no matter what God said. You see, God really is the problem in this scenario. Because when I bump up against something that I want to do, fill in the blank, and God says, no, it's unfair. God, you are unfair. And we effectively say, you're not God. Why are people not aware of the fact that we're not alone in the universe? Why are the scientists looking for something out there? I can tell you why. Because they already found them and they don't want anything to do with them. It's no different from a girl who gets who rejects a certain guy because the guy won't be what she wants. And then she spends her life and time trying to make it look like she never even knew that guy. She's found other guys that are so much better. And guys do the same thing with girls. We spend our lives pretending that there is no God because we already met with him, got ticked off at him, and now want to pretend he doesn't exist. What is the disobedience? It's the children of disobedience that are the problem. It's the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It's the lust of the flesh. It says here, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature, you are a sinner. By nature. It's not just that you got the wrong end of the stick, the short stick. It's not just that you were deprived, underprivileged, poor, rejected. No. By nature, you're a sinner. How do I know that? Because you're gaining weight, for one. You don't want to gain weight, but you're gaining it. Well, here's another. You don't look the same as you used to look when you were on point. When you were on fleek, as they used to say 10 years ago. But now you don't look like that anymore. Why? Because you're a sinner. Oh, I haven't done anything. By nature, you're a sinner. You don't have to do anything to die. You just die. And here's the problem. You might go through your life fighting against the effects of the curse and never recognize what the answer is. It's not Botox. That's not going to fix the internal problem. Now, we're grateful that it does fix some problems. Amen? It does help in some way. I mean, throw the paint on the barn, they used to say. Thank God that helps it a little bit. But at the end of the day, your flesh, your nature is going to decompose. Decomposition. Did you know that as humans, we're made out of the ground and that we go back to the ground? We're so far removed from dirt in our culture that we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We're so clean and so sanitary. We're so better than the old dirt farmers. No, you just put lipstick on a pig. You're the same. You're no different than your great-great-grandmother who sat gumless, rocking on the front porch, spitting chew out of her mouth. You're no different than her. The only difference was she was honest with who she was. But not y'all, she would say. Y'all are uptown folk. Granny, please, not in front of people. I'll do it again, boy. That's all of us. That's every single one of our families. Not my family. Well, they did other stuff like horse stealing and killing people, things like that. Very respectable folks, of course. Would never chew or... See, it's so easy for us as people to pretend like I'm not the problem. Other people are the problem. I'm different. No, you're born a sinner. And because of that sin that's in your flesh is not going to make it to heaven. Period. You're not going to get there. You can clean it up. You can curl it, twist it, straighten it, tuck it, plant it, whatever. You're not. It's not going to glory, okay? It's staying here. And we spend our lives. We spend our waking moments trying to pretend like we don't have a curse of sin on our bodies. And we wonder why we don't have any peace. Jesus said, I left it for you. I gave it to you. Notice that Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. It's a gift that he paid for. How did he pay for it? Look at verse 4, Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Notice us, who's that? Children of disobedience, children of wrath. By nature, disgusting, rebellious punks. That's who he loved. For his great love. Even when we were cleaned up for church, no, dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He made us alive with Christ. Oh, and by the way, by grace ye are saved. It is the grace of God. It is not because you're climbing the ladder of good discipline. No, it is by grace. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Why? Because yourself is junk. Yourself is junk. Now, Christians, hear me. Your flesh is junk. Your spirit is not junk. It is the divine work of God in you. Christian, you don't help yourself by hating yourself in that sense. You keep under your body, but it does need to eat. It does need to sleep. But you keep under that body. Why? It's just worthless. It's by nature, it's going to go back to the ground. But you have the Spirit of God in you. Why? By grace, through faith. He says, that, not of yourselves, it's not in your flesh, it is the gift of God. My peace I give unto you. Have you ever received a gift? Are you a good gift receiver? Some people, when you give them a gift, they say, oh, no, you shouldn't have. I thought I was doing something good. You're telling me I shouldn't have done this. Like a literalist like me, I'm thinking, I thought this was good. You shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I will repent of that. See, sometimes we can't take a gift. Why? Because you should never have even thought about giving me a gift. Because somehow we think that gift makes you better than me, and you're not better than me. I don't need anything from you. We have a hard time with gifts, don't we? Or when you give a gift, you say, I'd like to give this gift. I got a really good deal on it. What does that mean? You're really not worth what the tag says, but what the sale price was, you're worth that. See, we have a hard time giving and receiving gifts. Why? Because in our flesh, we know that we are unworthy. We know that we're unworthy. And we know what it means to receive a gift because it's so much more than what we know we deserve. And so it's hard for us to give gifts without caveats. It's hard for us to receive gifts without some kind of an excuse. Someone invites you over their house and you're like, it was so nice. We're going to have you over. Why? Maybe it's because of the fellowship, or maybe it's I never let someone have me over without having them over too. Is it really a gift? I said, I had you over, so can we just consider it canceled then? Okay. We both had one another over. You gave me something that was $79.95. I gave you something that was $75.96. And so technically, right, I'm a little bit ahead. But let's just call it good. I don't need anything from you. I don't need any. That's not magnanimity. That's not being big-hearted. That's recognizing that you're unworthy and you refuse to allow anything to be given to you that makes you feel unworthy. You feel vulnerable. You feel weak. You feel like you're not good enough. I have to earn it. It's in the heart of mankind to try to earn their gifts. It's in all of us. If you walked up and gave me a $100 bill, which I feel that would be a good idea, if you know what the first thing I'm going to think? For what? Right? For what? What did I do? If I work a job digging ditches, it depends on how long they've been sitting there. If I work a job for 8 hours digging ditches and the guy walks up and says, here's $100, I'm going to go, $100 for 8 hours? But if a guy just walks up and hands me $100, I'm going to go, for what? See, we always have this thing in our head. Are we worthy? Are we not worthy? Or I'm worthy more than that? Or, right? We have a hard time with a gift. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. You know the reason why you're having a hard time receiving the peace of God? Because you're not receiving the peace of God. You're looking everywhere else in the world to try to get it. You're listening to your favorite country music. You're like, This is my jam. This helps me. All right. If that's what I will remind you that you can do that with all kinds of different music. And it's just a temporary Band-Aid. We talked about it this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 16. David played with his hand. He played the harp. And the evil spirit would temporarily depart from Saul because of the impact of the music. But it was a Band-Aid. It didn't fix anything. He didn't have peace. Why? Because music, drugs, coffee, you name it, can only temporarily assuage or Band-Aid the problem. Now, I know I just said coffee, and you're like, mm-hmm. He's wrong on that one. Your own spouse can temporarily assuage the problem you have with your God. Your children can be manipulated by you to bring temporary peace in your heart. Your job can help you forget that you and God are not right with one another. Your productivity, your strong work ethic can help simply push off your relationship with God. It's a Band-Aid. My peace give I unto you. I'm trying to get through this point that it is not something that you earn, that you work for, that you are raised up in church and somehow get a badge for. It is a gift from Jesus Christ. Have you received that gift? You say, I know I should read my Bible more. You're not getting it. Yes, you should read your Bible more. Why? So you can understand who Jesus Christ is and what he's given to you. Not so that you can earn his peace. Well, I need to stop listening to the news because I know the news are really, really bogging me down so I can have peace. Well, maybe you do need to stop listening to the news. I think I think at this point, it's the patriotic duty of every American to stop listening to the news. But that doesn't somehow make you worthy of the peace of God. When it comes down to it, at some point, you're going to have to look Jesus Christ in the face and say, give it to me. I'm not worthy of it. I feel so vulnerable and weak. I want to do something, Lord, but I can't. You're the prince. I'm the subject. I receive your gift. And he continues in verse number 9 where he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, you cannot earn this peace. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, Gentile and Jew, sister and brother in the home. He hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What's that partition? A partition made of pride, made of tradition, of religion, of self-value, of effort. It's a partition that's between us and God. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Here is the shocking truth that religion will not tell you. Jesus Christ paid for your rebellion against a holy God. He paid for it. You say, well, I need to keep up my payments. No. It's not a gift then. He paid for the entirety of it. You can have peace with God. And by the way, Christian, that peace is not just to keep you out of hell. Thank God it does that. But it's so much more than that. He's talking here to believers in Ephesians chapter 2. And he says, he having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Do this, don't do that. He abolished all of that. Why? For to make in himself of twain one new man. He said, you must be born again. You need the new man of Jesus Christ in you. Young mother, pulling your hair out. You need to recognize if you're a child of God and you've received Christ, he has made in himself of twain one new man. Not you 2.0. Thank God for that. A new man. Someone that can do what you cannot do, what I cannot do. And what happened when he did that? So making peace. And that by that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Jesus Christ offers peace. He offers peace to the person here this morning that does not even know Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you asked Jesus Christ to save you? Do you remember seeing yourself as a sinner and seeing him as a savior? If you remember that, and then you remember asking Jesus Christ as your only hope of heaven to give you his righteousness and to take your sins from you, if you don't remember that, you're not God's child. If you don't remember saying, I'm a sinner, Jesus is the savior. Now, I'm not saying you may not remember. I'm not saying that you don't remember praying a prayer. A lot of times people pray a prayer, they think it's magic words. Abracadabra, hocus pocus. And because they said those magic words, I'm covered, I'm good. No, I'm asking about the heart. Underneath all of the religion and the tradition, do you remember asking Jesus Christ to be your peace? He paid for your sins on the cross. Do you remember asking him to take your sins? If you don't, you're not God's child. No wonder you don't have any peace. No wonder you can't sleep at night. The peace that Jesus Christ offers is given to us as a gift. But I want you to see, lastly, the personal responsibility. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. You see, the problem is not the quantity of peace, it's the quality of peace. Where are you getting your peace from? Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And then he brings up a personal responsibility. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You may not be sure right now that you're right with God, and that may really bother you. You may have conflicting impulses and desires in your heart. The storm that is encircling our country right now may be pulling you down. You may be depressed because of all of the fear that is swirling in our country. Why? If you're a child of God, I can tell you why that's happening. Because you do not have a firm grasp of Jesus Christ. You don't know who he is as of yet in the way that you should. You're not close enough to Christ. What's amazing about Christianity in independent Baptist circles is you can live it without Jesus Christ. Now, you know that you have to get saved. You remember that you went down, you prayed, you remember all, and that's very important, and thank God you did. But from that point on, you need to be in church whenever the doors are open. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. But you just basically do those things, if you're not careful, without ever considering Jesus Christ. You see, after he said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world, then he says, let not your heart be troubled. And he goes on in that passage also to say, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Is there anybody on this planet that can help you with what you're going through? I would suggest that Jesus Christ can. The psalmist said it this way, I have set the Lord always at my right hand, therefore I shall not be moved. Who are you leaning on? Who are you looking to? My job is not to be the expert that can bring all peace into your life. I probably bring more sorrow into your life. But my job is to point you to the one who can bring peace. Not only can he bring peace, he left it for you. It's got your name at the will call window. Do you want to go up and get it? Are you too embarrassed to go? Are you too proud to go? Do you think that, well, we're all just people and we all deal with it? Why are some people happy? Why are some people exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in love and peace? And why? Because they found the secret. The secret is that Jesus Christ is the key to living the Christian life. You get to know him, you lean on him, and you recognize what he said. What he said doesn't just apply to us corporately as a church. It applies to the people that are listening to this message right now. Without exception, Jesus Christ can bring peace. You say, well, I understand it. I could tell you this. He left it for you somewhere. And he left it for you in himself. And as you seek his face, I'm not going to tell you, you come down to the altar this morning, peace with God, glory, let's roll. Everything is good. No. What Jesus might do is just like a fisherman might do. He'll throw out that piece and he'll see if you want to follow him. And as you swim faster to catch that, he's going to pull it faster. And then you grab a hold of that and there's nothing. And you say, what was that? It was over here. You see, Jesus Christ brings peace, but he doesn't come as your servant. He comes as your Lord. He is the Prince of Peace. Where's he going to be this week? He's not going to be found in your religion. He's not going to be found in your discipline. Although those things can help. Having a structure in your life can help. He is going to be found where he is found. You've got to seek him with all your heart. Now, I don't mean to sound too ethereal here. We have the written word of God. But we also have the Spirit of God. And it bloweth where it listeth. When's the last time you felt the sweet breeze of the Spirit of God on your heart? Have you experienced the peace of God? I didn't say when's the last time you studied the doctrine. And those things don't have to be separate, but they can be. I didn't say when's the last time you tithed. Well, you should tithe. You should give. If God's blessed you, you ought to give back to the Lord. That applies to everybody, not just the old people. But that may not be where you find peace. If I can just get these kids to behave, if I can just get my house fixed like I want it, if I can get a new car, if I can get a new job, get out of debt, if I can just get past this physical problem, I can... No. You're looking for peace in all the wrong places. Peace is found in Jesus Christ. So what do you do? In the middle of your debt, in the middle of your problems with your kids and your junky car and your problem with your boss, in the middle of those things, we seek not fixing the problem, we seek Jesus Christ. Lord, I am willing to go through these things with you. I am willing, as long as, God, you will give me some peace in my heart. I want to follow you. And as he leads, you follow. Remember, he is our peace. He is. Christian, my call to you today is to take the peace that God's given you. You may be troubled by things that would not bother me at all. And flip side may be true as well. But I know this. While I can't figure out what you need to bring peace, Jesus Christ is the author of peace. And he promised to leave you peace. So let me encourage you this morning to come pick it up. Pick it up and enjoy it for what it is. The gift of God. Peace with God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being good to us by sending Jesus Christ. Thank you for your peace. Lord, there are some folks here this morning that really need the peace of God. I wish I could pray a certain prayer that would fix it all. I wish we could sing a certain song that would remove the anguish of their soul. All we can do is look to you. Receive the peace that you promised to give us. Lord, you did not promise that you would give us unmixed peace without any problems. Lord, those problems do come in the package with the peace of God. They are included in the set. I wish we could just take one and not the other, but it seems that you have ordained they come together. And we welcome your gift, God. Because it certainly beats anything we've found so far. Lord, if there is someone here that doesn't know Christ as personal Savior, would you work on their heart, help them to surrender the rebellious soul to a merciful God and seek forgiveness in Christ? Let's stand this morning. Let's take our hymnals to 562.